Hey, the music's playing. The words are flowing. It's another Radio Fishing. Oh my God, we're back. You lucky suckers, you. And we've got the lovely and talented Mallory, sports writer, beach fishing guide. We've got Captain Kale with us. There's all kinds of cool stuff coming out this morning. Good morning, Mallory.
Good morning.
And, oh, the crowd loves that you're here today. I know that. Look, listen to them. They just, they. And then we have Captain Kale here. And good morning, Kale.
Good morning.
It's awfully cold in here, Frank.
Is it cold in here?
It is.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, the crowd appreciates that you guys are here. Look, listen to them. Come on, guys. Let them know you love them. That's it. Yeah, there you go. Okay, now everybody be quiet. All right. Well, this show was rather impromptu. We were just sitting around back here going, well, let's talk about fishing and kind of BSing about all the fish and what's going on, what's going to be coming up.
I see ice fishing in our future.
Yeah, we've got a little bit of that, ice fishing. So, what? I mean, it's, what, 50 degrees out right now, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's cold.
Yeah.
Oh, don't you know it.
This is not what we moved to Florida for.
No, I had my heat on last night. I turned my heat on.
I built a fire this morning. I was sitting in front of the fireplace with the fire going and, you know,
enjoying. I've been looking for a metal garbage can to build one.
Well, I don't know if we want to do that. Yeah, well, what the heck, right? So, anyway, this is cold. And the good thing is it's going to help in some fishing. But now, Mallory, you fish big fish from the beach. You take people on fishing trips, and you go out and you catch them all these amazing, you know, the little grouper, the 150-pounders.
You know, just little ones. The Goliaths actually will be here all winter. They love the cold weather. So those will stay in the pass all winter, and sandbars will move south towards the Keys, and hopefully we'll get into some of the smaller bull sharks. And when I say smaller, 5-6 footers. And the black tips, they stay all winter too, and they're just migrating, I believe. They're just starting to come down into our area. But I know Fort Myers is killing it with the sandbars right now.
There's the black tips are starting to show up in Pine Island Sound. They're going to end up staying, I believe. Yeah. They're not going anywhere. Plenty of food. It's not going to get cold enough for them, so they're fine.
Yeah. No, you don't have to worry about the other one. That's just his backup. You're so good, we got to do it twice.
Yeah.
So that's just backup. Anyway, we're trying to get all this. You know, every time we go to set this up, I've got to buy some better equipment because this board is so old. The little buttons, you got to kind of jiggle them, get the sound up there. So, see, now you're bright and shiny now. So, anyway, this cold weather is going to help your fishing a little bit, Captain.
It's
going to
help me. It's going to hurt Matt.
Yeah, because now your sharks are going to kind of be gone for a little while. You're going to be able to do a little bit. But if this cold weather hangs out more than a couple of days, it's going to kind of
It'll slow the sharks down for sure. But we have some others that stay all winter, so I'm not too worried about it. And if it gets too bad, I'll just go out with Kale.
Yeah. She's been bugging me to catch a redfish.
Yeah, I haven't caught a redfish ever.
I don't know why. She's out there catching 200-plus-pound fish, so let's go catch a 5-pound red.
Well, you know, I mean, everybody's got their goal.
I have to check it off my list.
I was talking to Tom Fisher about that this morning, and there's, a grand slam for turkeys.
Yes.
You know, all the different types of turkey. You're a big hunter, Kale.
Yeah, it's hard to do. You've got 4 different species spread out all across the United States and Mexico, so it's a challenge to do.
They're
all different.
Yeah,
they're all different. I mean, it's very expensive. A lot of travel fees involved with it. All the turkey talk different. They act different. So you've got to learn 4 very smart birds in order to pull that off.
So now, but down here, it's kind of the same thing. You know, you want to get your redfish, your snook, your trout, your tarp,
exactly.
And you know, you really kind of, you know, got to check them off and
exactly,
say, okay, I
yeah.
did this, I did that. Yeah. And, you know, it's just amazing. Now, we know that, Kale, people get on your boat and you take them out on fishing trips.
Yeah.
And kind of the standard thing. But Mallory's a little different. Now, when you hire Mallory, you're going to go out on the beach and you're sitting there on land and trying to catch these big fish. Now, is it about the same price as a regular charter?
It all depends, really, how long you want to stay out there. We have people that want to just go for the day. Obviously, that's less expensive. And we have people that are on vacation. They go, I want to fish till I catch a tarpon. So I'm like, all right, well, we're going to sit out there then for 3 days. And so prices vary, but...
But say the average, how long is the average
trip? The average trip, I would say, I mean, we charge around $350, $400, 4 to 6 hours.
Yeah.
Night trips
so
always are better.
So you're getting out there right down, right about at dark, and you'll be home before daylight.
Yeah.
You'll be home before daylight. Yeah.
And a lot of, and it's right in line with a charter boat prices. And people will say, well, why would I want to fish from the beach when I could take a boat? Catching a 200-pound shark, Goliath grouper, tarpon is a whole different world on the beach than it is on a boat.
Now, on your boat, I can
chase them.
You can start the boat up and fire them up. Yeah, Mallory, have you found the key to the beach to get it running so you
can follow them? I did have a really nice boater last year when I was getting spooled out there offer me to jump on his boat, but other than that, I kind of just have to lock it down and sit in the sand.
On my boat, when I'm shark fishing, I tell people that if you are tired and you're ready for a nap after you catch a 7 or 8 foot shark, you're doing it wrong. You didn't listen to me.
Yeah.
Because we're using the boat to fight the shark. The only thing you're using to fight him from beach is your strength. And it is a losing battle. You're doing something that you do once a week. It's doing something it does every minute of its lifetime.
And there...
the place is falling apart around you there, Val.
It is. But it's different. I like both experiences. I've caught sharks off a boat. And it was tougher because I was using smaller reels, which I'm not used to, which is hilarious to watch me use because I put the butt right between my legs. And it's hilarious because I'm used to using an 80 wide off the beach.
Right.
You've got big harnesses. You've got all the belts. And it covers up all the parts that get black and blue.
Yeah. So when you put me on like a 30 wide and you're like reeling this kingfish, I mean, when I went out with Steve Scovington, they were rolling laughing when I caught my barracuda. I had the rod between my legs, and I'm like, and they're like, what are you doing? And I'm like, this is how I do it. Just let me be.
You can't do that when you're buried up to your waist in the sand.
Exactly,
now,
no.
I can just, you always picture Mallory. She's so little. Mallory's just, she's a little girl, and she hooks up these big fish, and I always have this image in my mind of the heels, like the old cartoon where all you see is the drag marks of the heels out into the water.
Where all is left is Bugs Bunny's head sticking above the sand.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, that's why I get a lot on the beach. I'll be hooked up, and a guy will walk by me, and he'll go, what are you hooked up on, a rock? I'm like, stay for 5 more minutes. Let me reel this rock in.
It's amazing how they just don't believe.
No, they don't. Not until they see us do it, and it's a blast. I love it. I mean, I love fishing for sharks from a boat, and I love it from land the same. You have to do it both ways, because I took out people who really only caught tarpon and sharks and goliaths from boats, and they caught them from the beach, and they were like, oh my God, this is different. Not in a bad way, but it's just different.
It's much more physically taxing.
Yeah.
It's...
You get drug over on your knees in the water, and forth,
and now cool. It's nice and easy to unhook a tarpon or a shark from a boat, for the most part. You don't have to jump on its back and wrestle it like you do from the beach.
Yeah.
I mean, look at her husband's leg. He got mauled by a tarpon.
Not many people get mauled by a tarpon. He's been chased along the shoreline by a lemon shark who thought it could, it was chasing him like a dog running through the surf.
What are you doing? Got some fish?
If you get mauled by a tarpon fishing from a boat, you're doing something horribly wrong.
Well, you forgot to stay in the boat.
So it's definitely a whole different world, a whole different experience, and it's absolutely worth it to do it.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I guess we want to think about cold weather and what's it going to do. Now, how's this going to change everything? If it lasts 2 or 3 days, is it really going to change much?
I don't think so. A little, maybe. I mean, they'll continue their migration, but... Other than that,
I wish it would last longer or quit doing it.
Yeah, pick one.
those three day sprints of hot and cold are the worst thing. The fish can't really, they don't have time to adjust to it. A cold front is fine because the fish get used to the cold. But when it's cold for 2 days, 3 days, and then hot for 3 days, there's no adjustment.
Well,
what do our fish do when it gets cold? They start heading for the deeper water, the murkier water, be it in the canals or upriver. Well, they get halfway there, and then it's warm again.
Then they turn around.
And then they get halfway back to where they were, and it gets cold again.
Well, the one thing about it is, on a two-day cold front like this, where we only got a couple days of cold weather, you cannot change the temperature of the Gulf of Mexico with a couple of days. It takes weeks or months of cool or hot to change it.
But you can change the harbor. You can change the river.
The canals, the the canals and the river change first, the harbor after that, and then the Gulf much after that.
Sunday,
big, huge body of water takes cataclysmic events to change it quickly.
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, I will probably be working the river. I see that becoming even more active than it already is because of this cold front.
Yeah, it's going to help because you get that nice cooling, but really it only cools that first foot or two of the water. And once they get down into that 7-8 foot of water, the temperature really hasn't changed. Even though our surface temperatures are changing drastically, those lower temperatures don't change. And
but that key right there is what makes fishing that river so easy.
Yeah.
Because you only have two water depths in the river. It's either 1 or 2 feet. Or it's 10 to 15.
Right.
So that 1 to 2 feet gets cold, where are they going to go? They're going to go to that 10 to 15 where it's warm. So it makes it much easier to find the fish.
That's actually true. So there's just a lot of stuff. But this weather, it kind of gets everything going. One of the big concerns that I have is when we don't have a cold winter, we can end up with huge problems in the summer. Massive algae blooms.
Yeah.
Anything from just basic slime algae to red tide. All those become more and more popular. Mm-hmm. So the water gets extra hot. Lower oxygen levels, lots of stuff. So we really, in Florida, people don't think about it, but we need a few months of cold weather, drop that water temperature down, kill some of the bacteria.
Yeah, we need like those 2 weeks of just cold. Like not cold, I mean cold, we say cold, but I mean 50s is highs, 40, 50s is highs, and just...
Yeah, we need some 30-degree days, not 30, but in the 30s, in that high 30s to help clean up the water a little bit.
Now, what do you do for your beach fishing when it gets cold? Do you hang it up, or do you change your tactics?
Usually, I'd say...
Do you wear clothes?
Yes. Oh, my God. It gets very cold out there. We'll be down there in parkas. I mean, once you get wet and you're on the beach, even if you change your clothes, you can't shake that cold. It is just... It's awful. So we usually fish... I'd say into mid-January, we have Andrew's family coming up, and that's going to probably be our ending until March. And we take a nice month break. Maybe we'll go out with Kale, get some redfish. And
so what you're looking for is there really isn't much of a chance right now. You're going to have to see what the weather does.
Exactly.
But you're probably going to take February off.
Yep.
And come back fishing in March or...
I can't wait for April and May. I cannot
March,
wait.
April. So, you know, Mallory is getting booked up. So if you guys do want to get in on some of this, you need to, you know, email her. There'll be a link to her stuff.
People are really interested in the tarpon off the beach right now. And I think I'm really curious to see what happens even tomorrow. We're going out tomorrow with a few guys out onto Boca during the day. And I want to see what happens to these tarpon because... They could stay and they could go. I really only think they're going to be here another couple weeks, and then they're going to really thin out as well and go up into the harbor.
But you've been doing massive tarpon trips.
Oh, it's been crazy.
You guys are booked up and booked up. You know,
we were guaranteeing tarpon there last week. I mean, we were hooking 3-4, landing a night, and it was amazing. Just the other night when Andrew got attacked, I say attacked, but I'll give you the story here real quick. We were out. Barry's last night with us before he goes back up to Tennessee to college, and Barry had a Goliath on, thought he was into my line, so I'm reeling, and I'm like, oh, I think my anchor fell off, I don't feel it. All of a sudden, 5 feet away from me, a tarpon skies onto the beach. I didn't know he was there. Surprise tarpon, here he is.
He jumps and lands on the beach?
So this tarpon jumped once, and we landed him. That's how green it was. So I'm like, oh, let me just get a picture. I take off my warm clothes, get in my bathing suit, get in the water. Me and Barry are trying to hold him. We're in the shallows. He's slimy. We're trying to hold him. We're like, take the picture, take the picture. We have two pictures of me holding some bananas, okay? And then we have a picture of us trying to hold this fish before it escaped. Barry tries to chase it. Andrew stood in front of the fish to try to just turn him so he would go back towards the beach so we could grab him up, take a few more pictures. Well, the tarpon got scared. Barry grabbed the tarpon. The tarpon then bit Andrew's leg and shook, and Andrew has a nice scar to tell about.
Well, all that just to get the hook out.
Just to get the hook out,
just
yeah.
to get the hook out and try and release the fish, make sure he goes away, you know, now, nice and safely, you know.
Why pictures the pictures? Are, why know, the picture with the bananas?
A Barry started this. We were fishing, and everyone knows it is bad luck to have bananas on a boat around right. you fishing. So we were sitting there one day.
And it's bad luck to the point where
captains
most
will not
charter
let
captains
you on,
will
correct.
Take you back to the dock and drop you off
yes.
if you have bananas on their boat.
I know guys who won't let you have banana boat suntan
exactly.
lotion.
Exactly. No bananas yeah. whatsoever.
See, we've solved a problem here. Well, we were talking earlier how you can't do your beach fishing for
during,
the tarpon during
tarpon
season,
season
because there's so many boats out
exactly.
there.
Exactly.
And you are within throwing distance
I am.
Of these boats.
Yeah.
And you could just sit out there on a kayak and throw bananas into their boats and watch them scatter. And you will have the pass
that's
to yourself.
A great repellent, right? A boat yeah. repellent. But Barry started the bananas. I walked by him one day and there was a banana peel next to his chair. And I go, Barry, what the hell is this? And he goes, he looked right at me. He goes, I had some bananas for lunch. And that was the night that we caught... We landed 4 tarpon and 5 goliaths, and I'm like, well, I guess the bananas are working for Barry. And ever since then, we've called them Banana Barry.
But see, now the thing is, it's about bananas on a boat.
Yeah,
not
so bananas
on
the
beach.
Beach.
Yep. Bananas on the beach might be the lucky
right?
ticket because, let's face it, all this stuff with bananas was once you get on the boat.
Yeah.
So, you know, bananas and beach. You got it. Hey.
Could, I'm going to start packing bananas.
Yeah.
Oh, bananas. A lot of guys buy into that stuff.
Well, this year it's funny. We were really superstitious when we started fishing. And I mean, ridiculously superstitious. And this year, I've let it all go. I mean, we were so superstitious where we wouldn't take out the camera until the fish was landed. And this year, I've let that go. If that's my fish, I'm going to land it. And I'm just carefree about it. And we've had so much more fun. We've landed more fish. And it's just been a better experience.
Yeah, I had a client. He sat there, pulled out his lunchbox. And the first thing he pulled out was a banana. And I don't buy into any of that crap, so I don't care. But his wife came unglued. What are you doing with that banana on that boat? He's going to take us back to the dock. No, I'm not. Settle down.
Well, you know, there are a lot of people, and for them it works. I mean, people get all kinds of beliefs about lots of different things. And when we talk about lures, we've been talking about a lot of different lures over these last few shows.
Yeah.
Confidence is the number one thing that makes a lure work. I can take somebody and say, here's a lure. This is a great lure. It's one of my favorites. It will work. And they'll say, well, I usually use this. And right there, I should know it's probably not a good idea to sell it to them because it's just kind of, they're kind of wasting their money because they'll go out, they'll make 5-10 casts with it. It doesn't catch a fish. They'll put it up. They'll throw 150 times at that other lure, catch a fish and go, see, I told you this one would work. You know, it's confidence.
Yeah.
If you're willing to do it, hang in there, it's going to work. But on the other hand, if you have something with you that tells you it's not going to work, like if you have a banana on the boat and you think that it's going to mess you up.
It's going to mess you up.
You will make mistakes. You won't do what you need to do. It's like guys during tournament day. You go out fishing tournament, you know better, you're good, you know exactly what you do, where you should go, everything else. But yet you make all these little tiny mistakes that make the difference.
Absolutely. And when I first started fishing, I was fishing with Captain Robert Moore. And me and him and Robert went fishing one day. And poor Robert Moore we're trying to get bait at the 41 bridge, which is tough because you're battling wind, you're battling current.
Pilings.
You're piling.
You got everything.
So he's running up front and throwing that cast net at the last minute.
And have you ever seen him throw a cast net?
It's funny.
It's a work of art.
It is funny.
When Captain Moore is one of the better fishermen out there, but his unique brand of throwing a cast net, because he's got that kind
of... It's like a ballet spin.
Yes, it's amazing.
That only he could pull off.
I couldn't do it. I'd kill myself trying to do that.
But he would go up there and throw that net, and then run all the way to the back of the boat and throw it in reverse to get back away from the pilings, and then run all the way up to the front and grab the net, and run all the way to the back of the boat and throw the bait in the live well, and then run all the way back up front and throw the net again. This time, when he threw the net, I jumped behind the wheel and stuck it in reverse to back the boat away from the pilings. And you visually watched his brain shift into neutral.
Didn't know what to do at that point. I mean, once you broke the routine.
What to do. And it didn't make any sense to me. It's like, I'm here. I can help.
Yeah.
Let's use it. But now that I've been out there doing it.
Yeah, you're like, nope, just let me do it. Yeah. Let me do it my way.
If I go get bait with my clients, is anything I can do to help? Yep, sit right there. Don't move. I'll take care of everything.
Exactly.
It's better if you're out of the
way.
We
have the same thing when people try to kayak, and we're like, no, please don't.
If you get out of your routine, it's hard to catch back up.
Because once you break the pattern, it's even like in here. I have a system I go through that usually works pretty good because, believe it or not, yes, I'm sure you believe it, it's me. Sometimes it takes me 2-3 times to get everything set back up so that we can broadcast show. I'm going, oh, no, that didn't work, and I plug another thing in. I go, oh, no, I didn't have that, and I bring another
program. I've done whole
up.
Radio shows and had to start over.
Yes. So it's about the routine, you know, getting everything going.
Absolutely.
And confidence in what you're doing. So, you know, we kind of been getting a little lost back and forth here. But just, this is a nice day to sit and chat and figure out what's going on in the world. And we have two of our charters that are completely opposite ends of the spectrum. Mallory, big fish, beach fishing and all that. And you do catch a lot of mackerel and trout.
Yeah, we do. We got into the snook this year, too, which was a lot of fun for me because that was our first year actually catching them. That was the first year we got to keep one to eat, and that was really rewarding, catching your fish and eating it. I'm not a really big seafood eater, so.
The snook is nice, though. Sliced into even
size. Oh, it was delicious. We
really
loved it.
The one thing that's really surprised me is that you guys haven't latched into any cobia out there.
Yeah, none, ever. That's what somebody told us the other day. They're like, you know, there's cobia in the past. And I'm like, you know, we've never, ever caught one.
Well, don't feel bad. Cale was, you know, he came up through the ranks, you know, fishing with the other guys and all that. And ended up, we'd been friends for a long time. He ended up working for me. And then the next thing you know, he's going through. And then the captain's license, get out and doing the charter. And you had, what, a 2-year curse?
12.
Well, 12-year curse, yes.
12-year curse.
But as even code, into your
which
captain
which I think
stuff.
Is why they taste so damn good to me. No, we had, I mean, it was a good 12-year curse, and it was bad because I would take clients out, and we'd catch cobia right off of Bayshore.
Yeah.
And I would drop them off at Lashley and go right back out myself and not catch a damn thing. And I really started hitting them hard 2 years ago. I took my wife Barb out. Listen, we're going to take some nasty rotten shrimp. We're going to drop it down underneath the 41 bridge. We're going to catch some whiting. And then we're going to head out for cobia with that whiting. And she whacks a 20-pound cobia fishing for cobia bait. And that's when I quit. And Andrew wanted a charter before he went to boot camp, him and his mom, for a night trip for tarpon. And I got out to marker two to get bait. And there's 30 cobia swimming around the marker like they're going somewhere. I have no bait.
Oh, my God. Cast net.
I threw every piece of plastic I had on that boat. Nothing. And I called Robert.
Yeah.
This is how bad this curse is. Okay? I've got 30 of them swimming around the marker that I can't catch.
Yeah.
And I knew if I threw the net, I'd spook them.
Oh, yeah.
So it was throw the net, hope for the best. I got two pieces of bait, and then sure enough, it spooked them. So I gave up again and got in position to get bait, and when I set my anchor, by God, they came back.
Nice.
And I finally got the damn thing.
We have a picture of him.
Kissing
it. One of the all-time great pictures of Cale, because the cobia is hanging from the T-top, and he's got a belly hug around it. I mean, he's just, and he's just kissing this tarpon.
It wasn't getting away.
I mean, picture your wedding pictures. That's Cale in this tarpon.
Yes, it was.
That's how I'll be with my hammerhead.
Probably even a little more intimate than that, I can tell you. This was a very unique relationship
that
between man and fish.
That was a 12-year relationship there.
So, anyway, let's go into, let's see. Let's do something about where would you go, what would you do today, and we'll wrap this up with some of that.
Today's tough.
Yeah.
It's windy. It's rough. It's nasty out there. I'm going upriver. There's no question about it. It's the only place you're going to go to get out of this wind.
So your bet's upriver, up around I-75 during the flat spot. You can catch a lot of sand trout.
I-75. There's whiting up there, silver trout. There's still some speckled trout up there. You're going to find plenty of juvenile redfish. hit the deep holes for light your bigger tackle redfish. Stuff.
This is a
light tackle.
Yeah, this is a real light rods, 4 to 10 pound class.
Yeah, and you're still going to find big bull reds in those deep holes, which are even more fun in this cool weather on light tackle.
Yeah. So, Mallory, what's your guess? Land, beach, shore?
Well, if you can brave the cold, sharks do really like it when rougher waters, the rougher it is for you to kayak, the better the sharking is usually. If you could brave it, I would head out Fort Myers area. If you want to see sharks tonight, that's where I'd go. That's where they're getting into sandbars like we were into them 2-3 weeks ago, where it's they're landing 6 in a night, ease in 2 hours, like nothing on mullet. So that's where I would go. I would go south. But don't count out the Venice beaches either, because they're still into some sandbars up there.
All I can tell you is Bob was telling me that it's really slow up in Venice right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Bob said it's slowed way down in Venice. I think that rain and the storm front's been hitting up there a lot more than they've been hitting
out
here. And so I think those fish came down and they've been more here. I think once this straightens out, their fishing is going to get a lot better. But
maybe
the sharks are doing pretty good. But he's been working the jetties and doing stuff during the day. He says it's real iffy right now.
Yeah,
it's
got a couple spinners over at Sharky's. Boca Grande is really hot for stingrays right now. I must say, if you do catch a large ray, don't try to get your hook out of its belly. Cut your line. I walked up on a guy. He had a huge southern ray and in there with pliers. I'm trying to get my hook back. I'm like, buddy, you're not getting that hook back. Let her go. It's not worth leaving it on the beach. So if you like stingrays, there's lots of them off the point of Boca right now. Nice size. Fun to fight on smaller tackle. But keep an eye on your rods. A couple people have lost their rods to stingrays also over there. Now,
what you want to do from Fishing Frank is you want to get a very light-duty rod holder, put it in the sand just a little
bit. That's what
tighten
we do.
Your drag up very close. Throw it out for the stingray, put it in the rod holder, and watch it go into the water. Because I could really use to sell a little bit more tackle right now. So
it's happening out there.
I need to pay some bills. So don't tell them to loosen their drags and open their bales. You know, to lock that reel down. Right? I need a few rods and reels go in the water. I gotta make up some bills right
we
now.
We had a guy do that last year. Last week he came up to us. Oh, you're from Fishing. He saw our shirts. You're from Fishing Franks. We just got these pen battles. They're great. We're gonna go try to get some fish. We're like, good luck. He comes back later with one, missing the other one. We lost it. I think it was a ray. I'm going back to Frank's, though, tonight. We're going to get a couple more.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right, guys. Well, I guess we're going to have to kind of end this session of Radio Fishing. And we have Mallory, our lovely and talented beach fishing guide, the little one with the monster fish. Say goodbye, Mallory.
Bye, guys. Happy weekend.
And Captain Kale, our charter boat. Actually, we booked you a trip today, another instructional, educational trip. Kale's one of the best teachers we have. If you're new to the harbor and you really want to learn what's going on, get a hold of Kale. He will get you on the water and get you going in the right direction. Anyway, and this is Fish and Frank, almost always in the wrong direction, but somehow or another, I always end up there. And we'll see you guys.
It's called the scenic route.
The scenic route. That's what I do best. This is Fish and Frank. We'll see you in the next Radio Fishing.